the first chapter of Luke, the third book in the New Testament. Luke, chapter 1. Beginning with verse 26. God bless all of our visitors, all of our friends. If you're visiting here from another church somewhere where your pastor is our friend, please carry our dearest regards back to your pastor, will you please? And tell him that there is a mighty move of the Spirit, not only in Fort Worth, but wherever you are. Just say it in the Spirit. When you back to Austin, say, Brother Phillips, there's a mighty move of the Spirit in Austin. And he'll witness that because he already knows that. And your pastor, wherever you're from, he knows that. Take it back. Tell him that. It will encourage his faith in what he's feeling in the Holy Ghost right now, because there is an immeasurable power in prophecy in these holidays. Brother Henry, we're setting up for the most powerful offensive the church has ever known. Ever known. Ever. Hallelujah. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now my reading is a little lengthy, but stay with me. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now listen here. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. I want to preach on the voice of thy salutation. Hallelujah. I thank you for your anointing, Lord. I thank you for this people. I thank you for the precious word of God. Speak to us, Lord, immortally. Immortally. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. You may be seated. The voice
of thy salutation. A salutation is an announcement. A salutation is a salute. It is a greeting. The salutation in a message or a letter is the opening statement. Dear Mary, dear John, dear George. You open that with a salutation. It is your announcement. Let's all say announcement. It is your simple announcement that you are there yourself. Now, the angel started all of this business. You notice that I've read through almost 10 verses, and the word salutation is used over and over again. Now, the message was clear. Mary was going to have a baby. She was not married. She had never known a man. She was going to have a child, and she is a virgin. I believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to change my idea about that because of some modern philosophy or because some doctor thinks it's impossible. It doesn't make a whole lot of difference what the medical doctor thinks. The Word of God said that Jesus was born of a virgin. That's the way he was born. So the Word of God is right. Hallelujah. I believe, literally believe the Word of God that way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everyone. Now, the salutation that was given by the angel Gabriel was something that startled and caused Mary to begin thinking. The angel said to her, when Mary was there, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee." Now, the next line says, "Blessed art thou among women." Most authorities leave this one out. Perhaps you have a little number beside yours. It isn't in the original Bible, which doesn't mean one thing or the other. What I've made that clause or statement for is this, that the powerful salutation was not, "Blessed art thou among women." The powerful salutation is, "The Lord is with you." And that salutation, "The Lord is with thee," made her start thinking. The Bible said she started casting about in her mind. It set her to thinking immediately. What kind of a salutation is this? What kind of a greeting is this? God is with me. What's that supposed to mean? Or what kind of an impact is that supposed to have? Now, this salutation, "The Lord is with thee," is the beginning of the marvelous story of Christmas. The story of Bethlehem. The story of his life and the story of his death and his resurrection and his everlasting life. This is the beginning. An angel talks to a little young lady and says, "The Lord is with thee." Now, in my opinion, we have complicated Christianity almost to the degree that it is a massive impossibility to drag men into the kingdom, according to some of us. We have to put them through so many rigors and through so many laws and through so many contingencies. There are so many ramifications to our soul winning that by the time we have learned all the scriptures and gone through all the texts, and by the time we have finally mastered all of the introductions, we have bored them to death. I think the simplicity of the gospel is lost in massive, confusing detail. The fact is that this salutation, this introduction by an angel to a maiden, was so powerful. It was so powerful that it made her stop dead in her tracks. She's looking at an angel. She's listening to an impossibility. But the salutation convinced her to believe. It convinced her. "The Lord is with thee." And that salutation made her listen and think. What is the Lord trying to tell me? They say that first impressions are the most important impressions. They say that the first time you meet a person, you remember that more than any other time you meet them or see them. Now, I don't know if that's a fact, but I'm sure that first impressions are important. But when the angel appeared to Mary, he did something, he said something that was practical enough and powerful enough that the rest of the message was not lost to her. Now, we have a tremendous message to give this world. That's right. We have a tremendous message to give to the lost. I don't think there's any message that can equal the message of the Bible. There's no message that delivers... Everybody say hallelujah. There's no message delivered to mankind. No goodwill story told today. No Goodfellows Club or United Way or Heart Fund will ever bring better tidings than the gospel brings to the lost, lonely people who hear it and rejoice. When someone hears this gospel and loves to hear it and hungers for it, nothing is so good. No news has ever been so good. You say, well, I was happy when I heard I had a boy. I was happy when my wife-to-be finally consented to marriage. I was happy about this. I was happy about that. No joy can equal the joy that comes when somebody finally obeys the Word of God in its completion. Now, I'm talking about people who have known the Lord in a measure. It's true that some people know the Lord in a fashion. They know Him in a measure. They know Him a little. They know Him in an introduction of some sort. But they have not walked on to know the Lord. Our message is not just one of taking a little dip in Christianity and then trying to straighten out all your problems and see if you can get yourself to live right. Our message is one of spiritual deliverance. It is total God working in man. Hallelujah. It is a message of repentance. And not only that, but it is an identification with more than just His death. It is also identifying with His burial. Now we are buried with Him in baptism into death. And like as Christ was raised up by the glory of the Father, we also should rise to walk in newness of life. We believe that water baptism is more than just an outward sign of an inward cleansing. There is some bit of complication in our message as far as the Christian world is concerned. We preach that the baptistry is not just an introduction or a doorway into the membership. But we preach that remission of sin happens when you're baptized in water in Jesus' name. There is just a bit of carrying the baby in our message. There's a little showing of the tummy in our message. There's a little bit of embarrassment in our message. Because we preach that everybody who receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost, not a few, but everybody who receives it, is going to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. That is God's physical sign that you have been born again of the Spirit. Now, whether you will admit this or not, there has always been a little fear connected and a little bit of embarrassment connected with most of our soul winning. The reason our people do not knock doors and the reason our saints are not avid soul winners is not because we don't have the most glorious news in the world. It's because we have not ever understood the salutation. The Lord is with you. If we could get that clear, you don't care how big you get or how much they laugh at you down at the well or how many folks snicker when you come by and say, you're not married, are you? Who's your husband? You need to go to a girl's home. Mary didn't blush. She wasn't ashamed. She marched right up to the hill country and said, where is Elizabeth? I want to make sure that angel was right. And she walked in. Now, Elizabeth was 6 months. And she could tell she was right. The angel was right. And the Bible said as soon. Now, it wasn't just a salutation from an angel to Mary, but it was something that was passed on to folks who should believe. The Bible said, blessed is she that believeth in the message. Hallelujah! Because God is going to perform what He said He was going to do. In other words, what Elizabeth said was, I'm glad you came, Mary, because you're confirming everything God has said to us. And do you know what confirmed the message? It was not a detailed explanation about how she felt.
or how the embryo was formed in the womb, or how big the fetus is at 3 months. This was not the complex thing that was poured out. It was simply a repetition of what Gabriel had done to her.
She simply walked in and said, "Fear not, the Lord is with me." And the Bible said that Elizabeth testified that the moment I heard your salutation, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And the Bible said Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost.
Woo! Hallelujah! Our message of being born again, of repentance and water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not going to change. But in my opinion, we are trying desperately to convince this world by telling them all of the details of our spiritual pregnancy, when we simply need to understand what the angels got to say. God is with us, and if he is and we know it, we haven't got one thing to be afraid of or anything to be ashamed of.
We just need to understand the salutation. The Lord is with us. Hallelujah.
I said the Lord is with us. That's the message of Christmas.
His name is going to be called Emmanuel, Isaiah said, which is God with us. The whole message of Jesus Christ is God is with us. The most powerful testimony that a person ever gives of the name and the glory of Jesus Christ is not to try and take scripture on scripture and debate someone down until finally you have convinced them. Very few people are frankly won because of scriptural debate. For every scripture you dig out, they dig out one. You come up with another, you say, "That's convincing, isn't it?" They'll say, "Well, what about this over here?" Then you've got to explain that one for them. And then while you're explaining that, they're not listening. They're digging up another one. And it just becomes a rivalry of verbs and adjectives and nouns and pronouns. Until after a while, oh my, we have learned all of the detail about the embryo and the fetus. And we know all about the blood vessels and the cord and all kinds of details that absolutely don't sound so good. I mean, who wants to talk about all this? Unless you are a papa or a mama. Unless you've got a friend in the same condition. Then they all like to get together, like talking about operations. "Oh, you mean you've had one since I've had one? Oh, tell me about it." Everybody wants to talk. Saints love to get together and talk scripture. It is great to get together in the church and talk about our faith and confirm it by the word of God and confirm it and confirm it and confirm it. But I am preaching to you that this world is going to be more zealously one to God with a proper salutation than with just naming enough scripture and pouring it out on them to try and convince them the first time we see them. You say, "You're leaving doctrine." Certainly am not. I'm just telling you that we believe the doctrine and don't understand the salutation. We've got the meat of the letter, but we don't have the greeting. They don't know who it's addressed to. If you miss the salutation, nobody knows who's writing to whom. What the Pentecostal church needs desperately is a newfound, glorious revelation of the salutation. We need to know the salute of faith. We need to walk up to a sinner and say, "Never believe what happened to me, but I'm going to tell you. You don't have to just give them line in scripture. You need to talk about what God has done for you." Hallelujah. You start talking about God delivering you from sin, something's going to leap in them. The babe, the unborn in them is going to rise up. Zacharias and Elizabeth were the type of the Orthodox original church. He was a priest down in the temple. It's a type of the average consistency. God's shaken out of the shell. He's thrown back the curtain. He's going to take the backdrop of that old veil and rip it right down the middle and step out past the incense and out past the candlesticks and out past the altar. He's headed for a wide world. He's headed for lonely souls. He's headed for the streets, the highways and the byways. They're not going to lock him up anymore back behind the veil. He's headed out. Zacharias is a priest in the temple. He's offering sacrifices. Elizabeth and Zacharias are a type of the traditional religion. And out of that traditional religion, God's going to bring a revival. That revival's named John the Baptist. Hallelujah! He's the one who didn't go to church to get his education. He didn't go learn how to lay his hand on the head of a lamb and do it just like Daddy does it. No, no! He was out in the wilderness while Annas and Caiaphas were the high priests. He wasn't learning. Why did it say in the year or in the day of Annas and Caiaphas and all of this, John was in the wilderness? It is a little way, a backsided way of saying they were in the temple, he's in the wilderness. He's the son of a priest. He has the right to be a priest. But he's not gone to school down to church. He's out in the wilderness. The Bible said the word of the Lord came to John in the wilderness. Hallelujah. The revival didn't come out of the organized church. The revival didn't just come out of denominationalism. The revival came after God had already shaken all of that. Because the organized church was barren. It could have no children. There'll never be a revival drummed up or in a packet. We'll never get revival just by putting it down on paper. It's going to have to come out of the womb. Hallelujah! But out of the womb of that traditional stage church comes the powerful John the Baptist. He's not orthodox. He's not average. He's not common. He's not couth. He has no etiquette. He is something different. He doesn't wear the linen of the priest. He wears camel hide. He doesn't walk with a golden censer. He walks with a staff. When he comes down, he doesn't stand in the temple steps. He stands in a muddy river and says, "There cometh one after me who is mightier than I, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to bear." Hallelujah! I indeed baptize you with water. Hallelujah! But he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I just feel good. Praise. Worship the Lord a while, shall we? God's looking for a church somewhere that'll take him at his word. God's looking for a church somewhere that will absolutely believe what the Bible says, that it is Christ in you, the hope of glory, that you are the body of Christ in the earth. He's looking for a body of people that will realize, Brother Oliver, that will realize who we are and what we are. When you walk downtown, God walks downtown. When you stop to buy gasoline, God stops to buy gasoline. When you go in to buy groceries, God just walked in the door. You say, "What do you mean?" I mean that the only God this world will ever see is in his church. The great revelation of the Bible is God in Christ reconciling himself, reconciling the world into itself. The great revelation of Christmas is not that Jesus was born in a manger, but it is who Jesus was. Christmas is nothing unless you understand that in that little 8 pounds of hide is the seed of divine power. I don't mean he became God. I mean he was God. I don't mean he was a part of God. I mean he was the Almighty God. And he didn't get to be God when he got baptized. He was God when he was born. The flesh was the Son, but the power in that little body was the Almighty God. He didn't even clarify his statements. When he talked, he said, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it again. I love to hear these people say, did Jesus raise himself from the dead? Yes, he did. He raised himself from the dead. He said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. Hallelujah. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. He was so much God, he didn't even clarify it. He didn't have to. They took up stones to stone him, and he said, for what good deed do you stone me? And they said, because you being a man make yourself God. Wrong. They had it backwards. He being God made himself a man. He was God in man, manifesting himself to the world. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father, he hath revealed him unto. You see God in the face of Jesus Christ. When you saw Jesus, you saw God.
Woo! Hallelujah.
When Jesus walked downtown, God walked downtown. When Jesus took the bread and broke it, God broke the bread.
I'm telling you, God was in that high. Not part of him, all of him was in there.
The fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in him. And ye are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. There aren't any more. There isn't any more.
Hallelujah. He that hath the Son hath the Father also. I and my Father are one. Knowest thou not that I am in the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself or of my flesh, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works.
You know who's opening these blind eyes? The God that made an eye. You know who's unstopping the deaf ear? The God that made an ear.
Hallelujah.
I haven't got corks on my sandals. I'm out here walking around on these waves. It's the power of God out here. Hallelujah. It was God Almighty
in that flesh. Praise God.
But I'm going to tell you an equally great revelation to that.
And I've told you before and told you over and over again.
But it is the salutation
that will make the difference in revival. This is what's going to make the babe leap in the traditional world. I'm going to tell you what's going to bring a revival to America. It is our unashamed, absolute confidence that God is with us. Now, all the details we can talk about later, and we will. When we get together with Elizabeth, we'll talk it all over. But the thing that's going to convince Elizabeth and the thing that's going to convince the world is the fact that God is with us.
The equally great revelation to God in Christ is Christ in the church.
We preach and rejoice and shout
that
God was in Christ. We know who Jesus was.
He wasn't the second person of this, or he wasn't an entity of something.
He wasn't just a portion of something. He was the mighty God, the everlasting Father.
Absolutely. Amen.
But what we have not yet fathomed is, and because, of course, we are human, and because we have these frail minds, and because we have weakness in the flesh, and because we are failing always,
it's hard for us to believe that God actually has escalated his plan past perfect manhood
and out of that body that was without sin and actually has made us partakers of his divine nature.
You say, well, we will be the sons of God.
No, for now we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be.
But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. In other words, we're going to see him with the same light and in the same way that he sees us.
We are going to be equal to that.
You mean he's made us heirs with him? I mean he hath made us heirs. Joint heirs. He shares his total inheritance with us. With humanity. With bleeding, dying humans. With failing, fibbing humans. With trial-stricken, problem-oriented humans. He comes to live in us.
What's that? How can this happen?
I've never been with a man. The Holy Ghost shall overshadow you.
And that holy thing that is born again in you is of the Holy Ghost. Now, all the details would have been absolutely too much. The mountain would have been too tall to climb. The river would have been too wide to swim if she hadn't believed the salutation. But the Lord, this is God talking. Everything's going to be all right. Fear not, the Lord is with you. Fear not, fear not, the Lord is with you. 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 Fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. The Lord is with you. Yes, but how can this all happen? You can get that later. You'll understand that later. Just make sure you understand that the Lord is with us. God's looking for a church somewhere that understands that God is with us. Hey! We don't understand it yet. I'm going to tell you, we don't comprehend it yet. The magnitude of the salutation. The fact that God is not just down here dabbling around with us, but we just happen to be. The church just happens to be God's only organ. His only transaction. His only communication. His only means. His only way to reach this world. It just so happens that we are God's vital instrument in His hand that He intends to use to draw men to Him. The church is more than just a group of failing people sitting around trying to keep each other's faith up. We're not here just trying to see if we can all agree on some point of doctrine after a while. The church is in the earth to do the magnificent work of God until it comes again. And we are God's temple. We are His habitation. We are His house.
Praise God.
You believe that? Everybody believes that, say amen. Let's all shout hallelujah. If we believe that, I want to know why then, with the glorious Messiah we tote around in our bodies, why we shun the well and hate to walk down the street and are worried that somebody will ask us, what's the trouble? If they ask me if everybody's got talking tongues, then maybe I just don't know what I'm going to say. We are so worried about all those details, have worried so much about those details that we have forgotten that there is a powerful incumbent in the Spirit when you say, the Lord did this for me. You blow to smithereens all of the arguments. We don't have enough faith in the salutation. You blow to smithereens so many of their arguments. A man with an experience is just not at the mercy of a man with an argument. We have gone to intellectualism to try to prove the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost, when the real power is in the testimony. It is still in saying, baptize me with the Holy Ghost. I don't smoke cigarettes anymore, and I don't take dope anymore. I don't run around anymore. I love to go to church. Say, well, you're not going to convince them of that. Something leaped in their heart when you said it. It's like an angel talked to them. The unborn in them leaped up. Woo! Hallelujah! You need to believe that. You need to believe that. You say, well, he didn't listen to me. You don't know what he did. You need to have confidence in the salutation. Gabriel gave the salutation. Mary believed it. Mary gave the salutation. Elizabeth believed it. What makes you think that since God is with us, you can't say that to the world? And they won't believe it.
They're starting to believe a lot more things than they used to believe. They can call you weird and call you spiritual harlot all they want to. But when you, time after time, lay a Christ in their lap, and time after time put a Savior at their door, and time after time put a miracle in their home, they won't mock you anymore. You have to be careful lest someday they worship you. I'm telling you, this world is starved to death for somebody to simply say, God is with us. In confidence, in strength. Hallelujah. Fear is the greatest enemy the church has ever had. Afraid. Afraid of what? Well, afraid they won't believe. Afraid they'll make fun of us. Afraid they'll slam the door. Afraid, afraid, afraid. Why are we afraid? Well, we're afraid because of this, we're afraid because of that. When the Lord appeared to people, he said, number one, fear not. That's number one. If you're ever going to get anything from God, fear not. Because fear casts faith. Fear is faith in reverse. Fear is sin. Everything that is not of faith is sin. That's right. And for us to have this glorious message and sit around and tremble is an enormous crime against God in the high courts of heaven and all the purpose of the church in the earth. Now the church is going to come into its own. All of this palaver about the latter house being greater than the former, and all of this joy about the glorious revival in the end time, is either going to be the truth or we need to shut up. If we're promoting an ideal, then we need to become politicians. But if we're going to preach the cross, then we better believe what we say. Hallelujah. I believe there's a great revival happening now. I believe there's going to be a greater revival than this world has ever seen, ever. Ever. That is just about to break. You say, well, I don't know, Brother Hamby. I don't believe all these other people. I wouldn't worry about all those other people if I were you. They talk in tongues, good. The Catholic priests all get out and dance in the spirit out in the football track, good. What makes a difference to you? What are you talking about that for? Why don't you go with the stadium and get out there in a robe and jump around and talk in tongues? Now what we need to do is button our lips about what we think everybody else is and is not. It's nothing but spiritual hypocrisy and Phariseeism. If smoke doesn't come out of our chimney, it's not smoke. Well, that's not true. Well, they're not right if they don't get baptized in Jesus' name by one of our own preachers. Now look, who baptized our own preachers? We are so concerned about how long is the umbilical cord that we kill the kid trying to figure out the details. We just need to say, I'm going to have a younger. We're going to have a revival. Hallelujah. God is with us. Amen. Great things are going to happen. Praise God. The salutation, our greeting to this world ought to be one of fantastic faith in what God is in us. Hallelujah. Paul's defense against Agrippa and before Felix was so magnificent. But he just started off saying, I was in Damascus, and I saw a light from heaven and shone round about me. He just told his personal experience about how the Lord spoke to him and knocked him down, and he got up and said, here I am, Lord, and he let him down, and he was baptized, and he got all through. When he finally got down to the end of that 26th chapter of Acts, then Here comes the word of Agrippa. He said, you know, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Actually, his appeal to go to Rome, his appeal, it's fine. God bless him. He said he had to go to Rome. He said God told him to go to Rome. I'm all for that. But the fact is that his personal testimony before those kings was enough to make that man stand with his knees shaking, saying, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He didn't quote him scriptures, and he didn't take him through a whole routine of how prophecy says this, or type and shadow proves that. That's wonderful when you go to disciple men, but it just is not the greatest thing to introduce yourself by. You need to say, God is in my life. Hallelujah. He filled me with his spirit. I'm baptized in his name. And something's going to happen to them. But there's one thing about the salutation. It has to first be yours before you can give it. Gabriel got it from God. He gave it to Mary. Mary gave it to Elizabeth. It was a chain reaction. In order for there to be a spiritual response, there has to be a spiritual impact. In other words, you have got to believe what you say. You say, well, I've told people I've got the Lord in my life. We say it faithlessly. We have no confidence that it will work. We believe that we've got to work all day long convincing them by detail. Come and visit our church. You need to hear our choir sing. Say, listen, we've got some special music you just wouldn't believe. Hey, you know what? Your kids would really like our Sunday school. We go through a whole routine of things trying to enlist people into our congregation and then slide the truth in on them, when really a salutation ought to be just as clean and as crisp as the angel said to Mary. Don't be afraid. God is with you. Woo! Hallelujah. She walks up to Elizabeth and says, don't be afraid. God is with you. And when she says that, the unborn begin to move. I'm telling you, what's going to move the unborn in this generation is a proper spiritual salutation. You've got to believe it before you can give it. We need to gather up a revelation of faith that God is in our introduction. Let's all say hallelujah. We have made the letter so detailed and the closing so sweet. Paragraph 2. And now, paragraph 3. And so forth, paragraph 4. And you see, and people sit back and say, man, I don't think I could ever do that. I don't think I could ever make it. I don't think I could ever wait for it. And then we close this out by saying, P.S. If you don't believe exactly like we do, you're going to hell. I say something wrong? That's what we've been saying for years. And when we didn't say it with our mouth, we said it with our actions. You say, well, that's true, Brother Hamby. Well, now, you don't have to tell them that if you're trying to tell them something else. To convince them of their judgment is not to save them. If we are that convinced that they are that lost, then why aren't we doing more to save them? And if we are so sure that we are so right, what are we doing sitting around year after year trying to stay saved? And if we are the people that have the truth, then I want to know why we fight like the devil if somebody tries to give it to the world. Everybody still here? I'm feeling better. Praise God. Certainly men have to be born again. Certainly they're going to be lost if they're not born again. Certainly. But that certainty should make our faith even stronger. It should make our approach even more powerful and our salutation more meaningful. That means I may have only one time to reach that man.
I may have only this time to share with him. This may be the very last message between him and hell. And I am the one who has to tote that up. I may be the last person who will ever know enough of the truth to tell us before he passes on into eternity. Now, what can I tactfully, spiritually do to save his soul? What can I do? I need to tell him what God's done for me. I need to give him what the angel brought to me. That's what will make the babe be in the womb of the traditional church. That's what will bring revival out of barrenness. That's what will make straight the path to the Lord. That's what will announce a Messiah for you. That's what will bring a miracle to a life. Salvation to a nation. Hallelujah. Redemption to the lost. It all begins with a salutation. It all begins with a proper announcement. Don't be afraid. God is with us. When you walk up to somebody, you should have the conscious knowledge that it's you and God right there together. We are laborers together with God. So I walk up to this man and say, I want to tell you something wonderful. I've got something great I want to share. I want to tell you about this. When you do that, when you give that salute of the gospel, when you give that salutation, you believe that God is doing a spiritual work in their life. Let me tell you in closing what concerns me greatly often. It concerns me that we are becoming so mechanical with our soul. We have outlines of scriptures that we believe, if we put them together in a certain way, that we convince people. And the Bible says, no man cometh unto the Father except my spirit draw him. Now, I don't want to hurt any of your theology, but men and women are not won to the knowledge of God by understanding doctrine only. They come to God because of something they feel. If there is no conviction, they won't believe the Bible. If there's no conviction, they won't believe a preacher. There's no conviction, they won't believe anybody. Even an angel from heaven or God Almighty wouldn't convince them. Unless they feel something. Unless something happens in their mind. This young man said tonight that he felt the change in his mind. And then he got to wondering, why did I even feel like that? There came a change of feeling in him. This world will not be won if we approach it systematically, trying to lay down a catechism of thought for them. We are not just going to change their minds and get them born again. We have got to depend on the work of the Holy Ghost to do that. If the Holy Ghost doesn't do it, it will not get done. I don't care how convincing you are, how many scriptures you know, how much Bible you've got. Men are not going to be won to God because of the bulk of your letter. They're going to be won to God by your salutation. They either feel it or they don't feel it. If they feel it, you can tell them anything. 90% of the people that come to this altar up here and we baptize in Jesus' name do not even know how they're getting baptized. That's how come they got baptized inside the Father's Son's altar. They didn't know any different. And when they come up here, feel conviction on Sunday morning. Say, I want to get right with God. Be sure you want to be yourself. Okay, we're going to help you. We're going to pray with you. When we pray with them, we tell them we're going to help them. When they receive that touch from God, that conviction, they're willing to do anything. Very few people ever turn around from this altar and walk back to their seat. When I say, would you like to come into the prayer room and pray with us?
Yeah.
And when they get back there, very few people say, no, I don't want to baptized, almost every one of them will say, yes, I'm ready to walk on with God. The acceptance of your detail depends on the power of your salutation. Amen. If you've got a message to get to this world, then make sure you introduce it right. If you've got a wonderful experience from God, then don't kill somebody with it, or just compare somebody to it. You need to give it as a salutation with the knowledge that God is with you.
Say, well, I know him, Brother Weeks. Brother Myers, I know Roger, Brother Calder. Now, you know,
there we go again. Fear, that petty junk that has kept us where we've always been. And then we have to allude to other things that are not nearly so successful. Anybody can learn a detail of things, but you must have a spiritual mind and faith to just look somebody in the face and say, God delivered me. When I was hopeless, God rescued me. Listen, when I was walking the streets and didn't have any place to go, God picked me up. And if they don't get it then, they're never going to get it. If it doesn't leap up then, it's going to be dead. It's going to be born dead. I don't care if you take it so serious. It's going to be dead. I don't care if you get them to church 3 months in a row. It's dead. Unless they feel the wooing of the Holy Ghost and the convicting power of God in your salutation. For lo, as soon as I heard the voice of thy salutation, the babe leaped in my womb. And blessed is she that believed. I'm so thankful for you, Mary, that you believed what that angel said. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So glad you believed that. I'm so glad you came here and told me that. Because whatever it is here has just come to life. And there's a whole world waiting for a spiritual birth. And it is not just the bulk of our message that we have got to get to them, so much as it is our introduction to them that is going to win them to God and to doctrine and to the truth. So what are we going to do with doctrine? We're going to disciple men after we win them to God. They don't know anything about the standards of the church. They're not going to understand everything about how often they got to be in the house of the Lord. They don't know everything about paying that tithe. They don't know anything about the Godhead. They don't know anything about how to be baptized and everything else. We just need to go ahead and perform those glorious duties of new birth, repentance, water, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then teach them the Word of God. We can sit around and talk about our operations when we all are by the same fire. But we need to bring conviction to them and faith to them in our introduction instantly. Instantly. I want all of you to look at it. I want to know how come we walk to the well in the dusky evening or take our bodies to and fro in the shadows. I want to know why the church languishes in fear of being rejected. And we are constantly afraid that someone won't listen to what we have to say. It is because we do not trust God. He said, lo, I am with you always. I will not fear when I go through the valley of the shadow of death, for thou art with me.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you that God is with us. What happened to Mary needs to happen to us. Before Messiah came, the announcement. Before the fulfillment got there, the angel came. Before revival got there, Mary came with her announcement. Before revival gets here, before healing gets there, the hospital. Before that mighty move of the Spirit, there's got to be faith. If we're just going to sit around and wait for God to do something and say, who is this little kid running around here? You think he might be the Messiah? She knew before she ever felt a struggle in her body that Messiah was going to be born. She knew that Christ would be born. Knew what his name would be. Come on now. Yeah. And while we're sitting around waiting for God to do something that we can analyze, we need to start having confidence in a spiritual salutation. I'm not looking for a great big cloud.
I'm not watching for a huge turnover. I'm not waiting for some massive voice. I already have heard the whisper of the Spirit. And it was enough to make everything inside of me jump.
Let's all stand, shall we?
Hallelujah. I'm not waiting for the windows to shake out. I'm not waiting for the carpet to get up and flop up and down on the floor. Or the benches to dance. God is with me. God is with me. Let's all say, God is with me. Hallelujah. Raise up your hands and say, God is with me.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Can't hardly wait to try it out on somebody. Hallelujah. I've got God in my life. What's that going to do to somebody?
They all get mad at you.
No, they won't.
If there is any divine visitation about them at all, whatever is in there, barren or dead, it'll live. If there is any possibility for their salvation, it'll move. Do you hear me now? I say it will move when you greet them. The salutation is the part of the letter we've overlooked. We need to introduce our message to a friend. They can all read the letter, but we need to put their name on it. We need to say to a friend, hey, James, I've got God in my life. God is with me. I used to walk this way and that. I used to live this way and that. But man, something has happened to me. I've had a visit from the Lord. And even if they're barren, or even if whatever God is to them is dead, it's going to be quick. They're going to say, the moment I heard that salutation, something moved in me. Hallelujah. This came to my heart the other day when I shook hands with a businessman in Houston, Texas. I shook hands across the counter with him. I said, how are you? He said, fine. And he looked at me real long and straight in the face. And he said, what is it about you? I said, I've got God in my life. God is with me. And when I said, God is with me, he shook just like somebody had shocked him. He began to shake. He said, I feel something I have never felt in all of my life. I had to stop and analyze. I did what Mary did. I cast about in my mind. What kind of a salutation is that? I'll tell you what kind of a salutation that is.
That is a word of faith, a power that embodies a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a discerning of spirits. All of the total of God's understanding is bound in that word. You can't read the Bible and not believe that God is not in his church. He's with his people. He's there. That's where God is. If you're looking for God, he's in his church. He's in his people. And when you acknowledge that you are part of God's body, and when you acknowledge that God is in you, you open the power of God to them. I just told him, I have God in my life. He said, I feel something right now I have never felt. And he began to tremble, and he fumbled around at the counter. I said, don't leave, I want to talk with you. He said, I have never felt like this before. And he staggered back to the back of the store, and one of the other sales clerks came over and said, can I help you? I said, I want to talk to that gentleman. And I went around behind and sat down with him. He said, I've been hungry for God for so long. I haven't quoted in the scripture. I didn't tell him what denomination I was. I didn't tell him where I went to church. I didn't tell him how old the fetus was. I didn't tell him how much blood is in my veins. I didn't tell him what I thought the baby was going to look like. I didn't tell him what I thought or what hospital he was going to be born in. I simply just told him that God was with me. And that salutation had enough power in it. Hey, where went the glory of this simple gospel?
when this was noise abroad, the multitude. It didn't take 40 lectures and 13 weeks of revival to move. You say, this is a different day. I don't like to hear that. I know what day it is, but I know that God's power is enormously more than all of the changing of the ages. I want to know why we don't have the old kind of conviction that knocks men down in the seats and women begin to weep when they walk in the doors of the church. You want to tell you why? Because we don't say enough, God is with us. We need to start saying, God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. If we started doing that when church started, God is with us. God's here tonight. God's in this house. God's in this place. God is with us. Hallelujah. I'm telling you that worship should not just be the rhyme of verb and line. It cannot be just the putting together phrases and things that are supposed to be praised. But worship should be the bounding knowledge of God in your life. You should say, hallelujah. Thank God that He is in my heart. Hallelujah, He is in my life. It's got to be something more than words and sentences given at command. I want to talk to this church and tell you, every one of you, that if we will begin to announce the presence of God among us, it will be among us. Don't bring me your troubles and your trials and your problems to church and walk out here and sit down and wait for God. Hey, why don't you say, God is with me? If I'm bigger than this problem. I'm bigger than this problem. I'm bigger than this problem.
Who can happen to you if God's with you? Who can overtake you if God's with you? Who can confound you if God is with you? Who can put you to shame if God is with you? Who can defeat you if God is with you? Well, come on, if God be for us, who can be against us? Let's all say, God is with us. God is with us. Hallelujah. That's all it took for Israel's enemies to shake. What are you trembling about? Who is that coming over there? Israel. What are you shaking for? There are just a handful of them. Yeah, but God is with them. They don't even have a sword. It don't make any difference. God is with them. Yeah, but they don't have any shields and they would just butcher them. No, God is with them. But they're just out here walking around the wall. But God is with them. Yeah, but we got five kings. Kings of Shinar up here. We've already taken the kings of Sodom. What are you worried about a shepherd and 318 men for? God is with Abraham. God is with Abraham. Yeah, but he can't conquer five kings and all that. Ooh, but he's got to live in God. What are you worried about? All you Midianites. What are you all worried about? You got people down here that are scared. How come you're worried? I'm wondering about that guy. He's only got 300 men. Yeah. But God is with him. God is with him. God is with him. Say, well, I don't think you'll ever be able to grow. I don't think much is going to take place. Hey, did anyone ever make you the annunciation? Did anyone ever give you the salutation? Let me whisper to you and see if it leaps in you. The Lord is with you. Glory to God! I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. When you pass through the water, I'm going to be there. When you go through the fire, it will not burn you. I am with you to keep you, saith the Lord. God is with us. Hallelujah.
the voice of thy salutation. Oh, that the world could hear the voice of thy salutation. Oh, tell somebody the salutation. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. Turn around, take someone by the hand and say, the Lord is with us. Take him by the hand and say, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. Hallelujah. Don't talk to me about the enemy. Just tell me that the Lord is with us. Don't talk to me about that cancer. Just tell me that the Lord is with me. I'm not worried about that heart attack. I said the Lord is with us.
Well, faith, just a little bit of faith.
Hallelujah.
Faith, just a little bit of faith.
Emmanuel, God with us. You don't need a whole lot.
Faith, just a little bit of faith.
Hallelujah.
Oh, faith, just a little bit of faith.